Thank you. Pleasure to be here. I don't know what actually happened here, but I was told by the organizers that nobody talked about charges, so this all will be about charges and electrostatics. So this work is done in collaboration. This was started with collaboration with my teacher, who visited me from Russia, Vladimir Perel. Tran Nguyen is my graduate student, and he's author of all these papers. Alexander Grossberg participated in some of them, and Julia Ruzina participated in a couple of them too. They all are at the University of Minnesota. Well, what I will discuss is standard question of screening. And we will see how it can be applied to biological objects, but let's first talk physics. This is physics of screening. We have possible macroions, like membrane, like double helix DNA, which looks like a cylinder, or colloidal particles. I will consider all of them for now negative. And first, I will start from screening of them by small ions in water. This is all in water, all room temperature. We have monovalent salt, blue guys in this water, and we also have a situation which I want to discuss when we have this multivalent counter ions, which have charge Z equal 3 or larger. Well, later you will see that these counter ions will become polymers and other objects. But I won't start from such a situation where I want to start from such a situation where things are very simple. And question is, how do these counter ions screen these objects? Well, you can say everything is in books, everything is known. You know that 100 years ago people wrote Minfield-Poisson-Boltzmann equation. This is Poisson equation where Boltzmann enters here. And it describes self-consistent potential under influence of distribution of charges, and I is a kind a sort of charges, and Zi is charge, and Poisson-Boltzmann equation is supposed to be solved with respect of self-consistent potential. Well, that's complicated business. In one simple case, when we're talking about just one-dimensional situation where we have charged wall, this equation was solved 100 years ago by these people. It's such a solution at which we have only one type of counter ions, this, say, multivalent guys, for example, which screen, and the total charge of this counter ions is equal to the charge of the wall. So at infinity, this concentration of this n of x is concentration of counter ions, and at infinity it goes to zero. And if it goes to zero at infinity, very interesting solution, belongs to Goy-Chapman, 1905, and it says that concentration of this counter ions decays as 1 over x squared when we go to infinity, and there is characteristic length lambda, which is actually length at which I should move this ion from the surface so that its potential energy is of order of kT. It's very simple length. And this is how Poisson-Boltzmann says concentration should behave. If I estimate for interesting cases of heavily charged surfaces where I have charge or one electron per 100 angstrom or per 1 nanometer squared, and for Z equal 3, if I estimate this characteristic length lambda at which this concentration decays, this lambda will be 1 angstrom. So it already makes things makes us suspicious that maybe this Minfield picture is not correct, because if they can stay only at 1 angstrom from the surface, then you can say that they stick to the surface, and if you have two multivalent guys which stick to the surface, they repel each other strongly, so they keep correlated from, they stay away from each other, And we should maybe think about correlations. We cannot talk about mean field approximation. So this is what I will be talking about role of correlations of objects which screen another object. We also know that the Debye-Hückel equation, Poisson-Boltzmann equation, if potential is small, can be expanded in power of this potential. You get the Debye-Hückel theory, which is beautiful, which is absolutely correct, but which doesn't serve us well in the sense that for heavily charged objects and for counter-ions with large charge, it cannot describe any realistic situation. We cannot expand this thing. And my point is that when we cannot expand this thing, in any practical situation like that, Poisson-Boltzmann equation is wrong, doesn't give any good. We have to go back and look at correlations and get a solution of this problem from the beginning. So now, this is what this talk is about. How do we do this? Well, what actually happens is that if I put multivalent counter-ions, they come to the surface, as we said, they almost screen everything at the surface, they repel each other, and they make the structure, their distribution at the surface becomes correlated. Actually, what should happen, they become something like Wigner crystal. They repel each other, and they sit almost in crystalline order. I don't emphasize any crystallinity of this. It's actually correlated liquid, but image of Wigner crystal, and Wigner crystal is a crystal of charges, say positive charges of non-negative background, which was introduced by Wigner. It will be useful, this image, to calculate energy of this structure. I repeat, I do not say that it's crystal. This crystal is melted, but energy of this object is very close to energy of Wigner crystal. This was confirmed by many Monte Carlo calculations. So how do I estimate energy of this object per counter-ion? And this is necessary to describe screening. We just assume that suppose it is screened, it's neutral, now this guy's counter-ion screened this surface, so what's energy of this system? And Wigner suggested how we calculate this energy in 1934. He said, let's introduce Wigner Z cell, a piece of background, this is negative background, this blue line, a piece of background which belongs, so to say, to this, neutralizes this counter-ion. Counter-ion is positive, this piece of background is negative. They both have charge Z, one has plus Z, one minus Z. And what he said, okay, well, simple image of this Wigner Z cell will be just such a disk, green disk, but it doesn't matter. What he said, look, this Wigner Z cells consisting of this guy and this piece of background almost don't interact with each other because they are quadrupoles weakly interact with each other. So why don't we calculate energy of this object as energy of interaction of this counter-ion with this guy, this will be negative, plus self-energy of this piece of background. And if we do this, we get very simple result that, of course, energy of interaction of positive object with negative dominates, and this energy is of order of Z squared, Z is charge of each of them, E squared divided by the electric constant and radius of this disk. And if N is two-dimensional concentration of counter-ions neutralizing this surface, then it's just proportional to square root of N. And I emphasize that this energy is negative, so this is and it's negative because you can imagine if I smear these charges and make everything neutral, then energy will be zero. Now they avoid each other, so energy is deeper, so energy is negative. So I don't need this energy, but I need chemical potential. So before I calculate chemical potential, let me emphasize that all these quantities, all characteristic energies we're talking about are of order of Z squared, E squared, over this distance, radius of Wigner Z cell divided by KT. This parameter is traditionally called in one component plasma gamma, And for situations, for z equal 1 and for typical situation, I told you about gamma is of order of 1, but if z is equal 3, it's already 10. And so potential energy dominates kinetic energy, and that's why Wigner crystal idea or strongly correlated crystal idea makes sense. And so under these conditions, all the theories will be done here under these conditions. And what we actually need is not energy per counter-ion, but chemical potential, which has such a meaning. This is work which I have to pay to take this guy away to infinity. So I calculate free energy. Free energy is energy time concentration. This is free energy per unit area. This is zero temperature approximation because of that. So I take derivative with respect of concentration. This is chemical potential. It adds, because this is square root of n, it adds me only 3/2. And chemical potential is 3/2 of energy. And energy, you remember, was like 7 or 10 kT. And there is an example here. And so chemical potential is negative. I have to pay work to take this guy away from here. And for these conditions, chemical potential calculated by this way is 10 kT. This is absolute value. WC means Wigner crystal. And if you take temperature effects, if I take some temperature movement and entropy effect, this was all done by Monte Carlo. It was very good accuracy. I can say that for these conditions, mu is not 10 kT, but 8 kT. So correction is like 15-20%, and that's why with this correction I can continue talking language of Wigner crystal. I'm not insisting that it's Wigner crystal.
You ignore entropy in this free energy.
Yes, as I said, this is role of role of all thermal effects at gamma at this situation for z equal 3 and for sigma of order of 1 is e over nanometer squared. Oh, it's okay, thank you. So this is small effect. Actually, let me emphasize what I'm doing here in this talk. I am doing low temperature physics. My experience is from low temperature physics. I was in low temperature physics for many years in semiconductors, disordered system, quantum Hall effect. So I'm just moving all this experience to this field. This is low temperature story, although in this sense, that temperature is smaller than potential energy. And this is because of large charge. This is why I need large charge. This physics works only for z equal 3 and larger z equal 2 is marginal, z equal 1, this physics doesn't work. So you will see that lots of classical works were done for monovalent charges, it's correct. But for larger charges, it's wrong, and low temperature physics is necessary.
So in your estimates, did you take into account the dielectric constant?
Yes, the electric constant 80 is put in all estimates originally. Oh, well, so I told you now that there is additional attraction above mean field to the Wigner crystal. If I bring another counter-ion, it wanna stick to Wigner crystal. Or otherwise, if I take it, I pay. Why is that? What is this? So you saw this derivation, it's very simple. I wanna do it even simpler. So now I'm trying to really reduce it to very simple knowledge of the freshman physics level. So to start with, I will discuss another problem, which has nothing to do to problem we're discussing, problem of attraction of
A question just occurred to me. You're making this estimate of chemical potential in a very thermodynamic way, but if I actually think about the work I would need, let me say the energy I would gain to bring a charge in from infinity.
That's what I'm calculating now. Wait, this transparency.
Okay, so you're going to do something about interstitials?
That was
the question.
No, this is liquid, forget it. This is liquid. Mm. As I said, this is correlated liquid. Defects are not necessary here. This is elementary calculation. You will see it now. Repeat the question if you want after this transparency, please. So I repeat, this is derivation of the same story in freshman level. So what I'm talking about, this is just pedagogical problem of attraction of counter ion to neutral metal. Suppose this thing is neutral metal, absolutely neutral, no charges, and not insulator as we want to screen, but it's just metal. This is a pedagogical problem. So you know that any charge here gets attracted to its image in neutral metal. So this is energy of attraction of excess distance from the surface. This is energy of attraction of charge Z to neutral metal. Why? Because in neutral metal you have image of this charge, they get attracted. So this charge comes to the surface, sticks to the surface, and this is characteristic energy which we get from this. This characteristic energy is Z squared, E squared, 2D, A is radius, is diameter of this charge. This is not our problem, but this is what everybody knows. Now this is our problem, and this is not what everybody knows. So this is insulator, and it has surface charge, like surface of DNA, or surface of membrane, or whatever. I am considering charge which is not movable. We can do it for movable charge too, we did. But now it's not movable, as we and uniformly distributed. Now we have counter ions which already have neutralized this surface, so that this object is neutral, and I have to explain why additional counter ion want to come and stick. So it's neutral, but look, this guy, additional guy comes. It pushes others away. It opens the hole on the surface. This hole can be called correlation hole, like from solid state physics, people who are involved in solid state physics know this term, correlation hole. It attracts back, it attracts this charge to the surface. So actually what happens is, you can say that this surface is a metal, because if charges are movable, and this is liquid, they are movable, you have image of this charge in this metal. So this charge gets attracted, but look here, I put R, and R is average distance between counter ions, instead of A here. This is because this is not a very good metal. This is a metal at distances larger than average distance between them. Then it's metal. When you come closer, there is no screening here at smaller distances, so it stops to be metal, so there is no further attraction at smaller distances. This attraction continue to grow, Coulomb interaction continue to grow when I approach distance A, but here it doesn't grow, so I truncate this Coulomb potential at distance R, which is average distance between counter ions at the surface. I get this expression, which I derived formally without coefficient, but coefficient was derived formally from known energy of one component plasma. So this is physics. This is attraction to image, and this is correlation physics. In mean field theories, there is no image, there are no attraction, there is no attraction to image. Mean field theory means that field potential is fixed, doesn't depend on position of the particle. Correlation physics means that potential depends on position of particle. When particles come closer, potential develops, which attracts it. It's like polarization, it's like image. This is all words which are beyond mean field. So what can one do with this attraction? So because of this attraction, as I explained, when a surface is already neutralized, it continue to attract counter ions. So here phenomenon comes, which is called charge inversion. So I start from a negative particle. It is environment of positive counter ions. They come and overscreen it, so that this charge of particle becomes opposite, positive net charge, because they attract them. So how can I solve the following problem? I have only counter ions, Z equal 3 here, and monovalent salt is not important, screening radius is very large, infinite. And I want to know charge of negative particle maximum possible charge of negative particle in this environment when concentration of counter ions is big enough. If concentration is big enough, no entropic effects are involved. I am dealing only with potential energies, and this is chemical potential, which we already calculated. This is a driving force of charge inversion. More particles want to come to the surface than it is necessary to neutralize negative sphere. And what I pay for that, if I already overcharge this object, it is positive to bring another guy. I work against macroscopic field of this object. So there is a driving short-range force, like voltage, which wants to overcharge the particle. And there is, of course, capacitance effect. I cannot charge macroscopically particle if it's very big charge. So I balance chemical potential with work I have to do to Q star being net charge, which I am about to find. This is this work, Ze times Q star. L is the radius of this particle. And this is all. I should solve this equation. And the result is very simple. It tells me that Q star, which is positive charge of counter ions, which came here, minus Q, which is charge of net which is bare charge of this sphere, result is very simple. It's 0.8 square root of QZ. I repeat, QZ is bare charge. Z is charge of one counter ion. So suppose bare charge is 100. Suppose this counter ion is 3. Square root of 300 is 17 times 0.8. It's 15 charges, positive charges. So I started from minus 100. I got plus 15. This is overcharging in work.
What's U?
U? I don't know.
U without star.
I repeat, this particle has charge Q, bare charge.
Initial
charge, bare. Okay? Now, language, it's bare charge, and when I got all of them at the surface, this is net charge. Net charge is Q star. I started from charge Q minus 100. After all thing, I got, after all this calculation, I got charge plus 15. That's charge inversion. Well, you can imagine that if I have screening by monovalent salt outside here, then here I was charging a sphere with respect to infinity. If I have screening by monovalent charges, which can be described by Debye-Hückel's theory, and if screening radius is small, I will have opposite charge sitting here at small distance. Then I will be charging not a sphere with respect to infinity, I will be charging this sphere. With respect of this sphere, capacitance will be larger, charging will be easier, because charging energy is Q squared over 2C, charging will be easier, so I can charge this thing even stronger, and so with small screening radius, I can show that I can charge it 100%, overcharge it by 100% or more. Actually, in these conditions, if I have screening radius, I can forget that I have sphere. I can deal with plane, just plane, because if screening radius by monovalent charges is smaller than radius of this object, which is here, sitting here, then I can say that surface is everywhere flat. I have kind of plane capacitor, and so this plane capacitor is being charged by this voltage, and capacitor depends itself on screening radius by monovalent charges. I repeat, monovalent charges can be dealt with using Debye-Hückel theory. And Debye-Hückel theory says that it's like screening radius. If you have screening radius, you have like capacitor where concentration of opposite charge decays exponentially. So center of gravity of this charge sits at screening radius. You can deal with the idea of capacitor, linear capacitor, and this capacitor is being charged by this strongly nonlinear story of Wigner crystal. And I don't know why I take your time. And, well, maybe I'll go for this. It's not very difficult. I have to balance chemical potential, which is so I'm balancing. I'm balancing this gain, this chemical potential against this charging energy. So what I'm doing, if I bring extra counter ion to the surface, I get this price, minus mu, minus absolute value of u, negative, I get this energy. I pay work to bring counter ion through this capacitor. A capacitor is, let me describe this capacitor once more. This is bare surface, it's overcharged, so sigma star is positive. This is net charge of this surface, it's overcharged, and this is opposite charge to sigma star, so this is capacitor. This is work I pay to move counter ion this way, so it is electric field times distance times charge, very simple. And this is difference in entropic terms in chemical potential. This is actually balance of chemical potential at the surface at infinity. So this is actually difference of entropic terms of chemical potential. This is concentration of them at the surface, three-dimensional concentration. And this is three-dimensional concentration of counter ions at infinity. I can introduce such a quantity, which is concentration of counter ions at the surface times exponentially small term. This exponentially small term is nothing else as, so this will be concentration, interest in concentration. If I introduce such concentration and solve this equation for sigma star, I will get such a simple equation. Sigma star is electric charge 4 pi Bjerum length, which is a distance at which a Coulomb interaction is equal to kT, 7 angstrom in water, screening radius, log concentration of counter ions at infinity divided by this interesting concentration, exponentially small concentration. So what this equation says, when concentration at infinity is bigger than some concentration, exponentially small concentration, then sigma star is positive. This is proof of charge inversion. If it is small, of course, it's negative. But you have to overcome only exponentially small concentration. And this is like concentration of vapor of counter ions above this liquid. Look, this is concentration at the surface, this is exponential term, and this is like saturated vapor above this liquid. And of course, if I have concentration here bigger than concentration of saturated vapor here, of course, this surface gets overcharged because counter ions should be repelled to agree with this. So, okay, let's say that concentration at infinity is big enough, then we can cross this term from the beginning, then equation is even simpler. We solve this equation for sigma star. Sigma star is this chemical potential which drives, which is voltage charging this capacitor, divided by capacitance, and so of unit area. And so sigma star is ZE charge of one counter ion divided by average distance between counter ions at the surface, R, and screening radius. If screening radius is infinite, then flat surface cannot be overcharged, of course. You cannot make charged surface, energy will be infinite. But if screening radius goes down, charge inversion grows. When screening radius is equal to average distance between counter ions, this sigma star is equal bare sigma, because bare sigma is ZE divided by R squared. R is average distance between these guys here. So bare sigma is this. So charge inversion becomes 100% when screening radius becomes of order of distance between counter ions. Well, this distance in typical situation is 20, 17 angstroms. 17 angstroms. Screening radius in biology in cells is 10 angstroms, can be made bigger. So actually when we think about biology, charge inversion is always very big. I already talked about spherical surface, and I already talked about flat surface. Now, very interesting example is a cylinder. It's beautiful and interesting because Ansanger and Manning said that in Poisson-Boltzmann approximation, in Minfield approximation, this case has very interesting solution, screening of counter ion. This solution is based upon logarithmic potential. So if cylinder is charged and I have counter ion, then potential attract which attracts me back is logarithmic. People who are from solid state physics here know this beautiful story about Kosterlitz-Tauless logarithmic attraction. This is the same story, exactly the same story. And actually it was published before Kosterlitz-Tauless. So let me describe what this story says, and let me describe Excuse me?
It's not quite. You have the competition.
No. Well, first step is the same. First idea, I don't know. Original idea is same. Let me describe. No, I didn't mean that they copied everything from Ansager. But original idea, I will explain what I am doing here in the sense of causal powers for people who are from solid state physics. But let me explain what they got. In working in mean field Poisson-Boltzmann approximation, they got that if linear charge of this object is eta, is very large, then charge from environment, screening charge, collapses at the surface until linear charge will become as small as eta c. Eta c is kt divided by ze. Why is that? Because if potential is smaller, it cannot keep contrivance at the surface, and the rest of charge is screened by Hückel approximation. If this potential is strong, eta is bigger than eta c, then some charge collapses until it becomes eta c. This is a beautiful theorem which belongs to Ansager and Manning, and was published in 69 by Manning. I repeat that this eta c, which we will get in this case, is still negative. So I start from negative and big charge. Some charge will collapse, but net charge will be still negative. And it will be universal, and it will depend on t. People who know Kosterlitz Taurus know that in Kosterlitz Taurus, it's not eta which is critical. It's temperature which is critical. But this is the same relations between two quantities. And in this sense, it's Kosterlitz Taurus. So what we introduced in this field, we said this is all wrong for the situation when we deal with multivalent charges. With multivalent charges, I get this correlated liquid at the surface. So this thing becomes overscreened. It's not that it gets critical negative charge. It becomes positive, overscreened, and strongly. And I have no time to derive it, but this is result for eta star, which is minus eta c, same on Ansager-Manning, but also ratio of these logs. And n is concentration of contrivance at infinity, n not this exponentially small critical concentration of saturated vapor. And when n is bigger than n naught, sign is wrong here. So when n becomes bigger than n naught, actually n naught over n, when n is bigger than n naught, this thing becomes positive. So DNA can be overscreened, can change its charge, and naturally, if I apply electric field, study electrophoresis, it should go in opposite direction. So if DNA is in environment where we have many multivalent contrivants, it should go in opposite direction. This is being checked by several groups. There is no in a biggest confirmation yet. But this is a long story, and I can tell people who are interested what's happening in experiment. This DNA. By the way, there are several other polymers, several other examples where charge inversion was observed. Objects get overcharged and go in opposite direction. But with DNA, there is some problem, and I still don't know what. So, I think he's first.
Why? I always thought that the Manning condensed charges are mobile, so that they, if you apply an electric field,
yeah,
the DNA goes one way,
and yeah,
the
yeah,
go the
yeah,
other way,
yeah,
then it should go in the opposite,
yeah,
direction.
Yeah, yeah. I got your question. Sometimes you're right, sometimes you're not. If you have DNA screened, or DNA or cylinder screened in the bi-Hückel approximation, then if you pull DNA in this direction, screening charge goes in opposite direction. This object stays almost neutral, but they are going in opposite directions. So, like, they slide. Wow. So this is in the bi-Hückel approximation. Already in 1926, Ansager showed that this is not exactly correct. there are corrections due to drag. They drag each other in opposite direction. He got this correction, but this is still in conditions when you have small dibihucal parameter. This condition, this situation is absolutely opposite. We're talking about very strong binding of charges to the surface. Energies, you remember this epsilon which I calculated from the beginning, it's much larger than kT. So these charges are actually bound to the surface and they go together. You can show this. The easiest thing is to show to this for sphere. We need such calculations. They go together. Only exponentially small fraction of overcharging charge can leave the object. And exponentially small in the sense of the same exponent which enters this concentration n naught e to minus mu over kT. In the bihucal situation, mu is always smaller than kT. You can expand everything. Everything goes in this direction.
Where does the multivalency come in here?
Multivalency, okay. I repeat that this all depends. If concentration is bigger than a knot, you will have charge inversion. Let's go back and look at the knot. A knot, this concentration of this vapor, has e to minus mu over kT. Mu is z squared, e squared over r. R is average distance. You remember, I started from that. So mu is big compared to kT only if you have big charges. It has z squared. When I go back to z equal 1, mu is of order of kT. So this concentration is huge. I never can overcome it. For monovalent ions, I cannot overcharge because concentration of saturated vapor becomes big. I cannot overcome it. And for large charges, I can do that.
And if you have a mixture of the different ions, is that what you
want to know? Well, I haven't. Well, if you mean I have large counter ions and monovalent salt actually helps to overcharge. I explained why, because capacitance of object you charge becomes bigger. It was in previous. It was here. Okay, this was here. If I have monovalent charges, screen radius is smaller, this capacitance of this, which is being charged by this chemical potential, is bigger, so it's easier to overcharge. Yes?
Can you explain us a little bit better why it is difficult to see the anomalous electrophoresis experimentally?
In DNA.
Yes.
I repeat, in other objects, not in DNA, it was seen. And these works are coming, more of this. I do not know why people haven't seen it in DNA, just in DNA. They actually saw that, I will come to DNA. Maybe I talk about this a bit later, right now, but give me 3 minutes and then we come back to this. I'm almost finished talking about small charges. I want to talk about one experimental work. And to start this, I will start from experiment. This is symbolic experimental, symbolic picture of experiment, but it's actually a very good experiment. It's very interesting and shows strong behaviors. This is about condensation of DNA. So I'm talking about solution of DNAs. There is some solution of DNA. We are adding in this solution multivalent counter ions. This is concentration of multivalent counter ions. In experiment, it covers 6 orders of magnitude. So it's quite interesting experiment. So what happens when this concentration grows? First, at some critical concentration, DNA condenses from solution to the bottom. This is actually what is shown here is fraction of dissolved DNA in solution. So it was first in solution, then it goes to the bottom. It stays in the bottom, and at some larger concentration, which is 4 orders of magnitude larger than this one, it goes backwards in solution. So why is that? So this is actually not a direct proof of charge inversion, but indirect proof of charge inversion. So that are in, when I said that people didn't see it, they didn't see it in electrophoresis in very direct sense. So I'm continuing with this experiment.
What is the order of magnitude of NC? NC
is actually 10 micromolar, and ND is 100 millimolar. So four orders of magnitude between them two. Spermin. Short, strongly charged polymer, 15 angstroms, 20 angstroms. Spermin and spermidine, those are biological multivalent contrails.
So what concentration are they?
This is concentration? You just asked me.
Spermin concentration.
Yeah, that's what I answered. This was spermin concentration, which I told you about. This is spermin concentration. No, I'm not talking about concentration of DNA. DNA has fixed and small concentration in this experiment. Mm-hmm. It's not important. But concentration of counterions is being changed. So first, like one or two orders of magnitude, we can observe it stays in solution, then it collapses, then it stays then in the bottom, then it goes back. Why is that? This is our interpretation. We actually made special theory for that, and I will explain that. Actually, Wigner crystal. Okay, let me go back a bit, and then I will come back to this transparency. This will be explanation. So, this discussion at the moment is not about charge inversion. Forget for a second charge inversion. This is what happens if two DNAs are neutralized by counterions. If they are neutralized by counterions, they stick to each other. And this I have to explain. And they stick to each other because if they come together, Wigner crystals which sit at the surface overlap in this place. If they overlap in this place, both backgrounds and counterions increase their density twice. And you remember, energy per counterion was z squared, e squared, divided by d, the electric constant, square root of concentration of counterions at the surface. If concentration is doubled, energy per counterion doubles, it becomes larger by square root of 2, and it's negative. So it's very beneficial in the sense of energy to stick, to come to DNAs to each other and stick. So neutral DNA, neutralized heavily charged object, which were heavily charged, but then are neutralized by multivalent counterions, stick to each other. Because of short range force developed by Wigner crystals at the surface. Now, we recall that it can be also charged macroscopically, undercharged if concentration is below and not. So all DNAs, when concentration of counterions is below and not, are negative. This is negative half plane. All DNAs at concentration larger than and not are positive. So what happens? Here DNA is neutral, and of course it collapses in bundles. Here it's negative, but not too negative, so that repulsion cannot prevent sticking. Sticking is more important. At this point, repulsion becomes more important, so DNA stays in solution. Here, DNA becomes positive. Not very positive, still can be condensed. Here, it becomes overcharged and repels each other, and so goes to solution. So this is indirect confirmation. Actually, we found this N-naught from experiment. N-naught is a key quantity which enters to every theory. N-naught turned out to be 3 millimolar. Excuse me?
Osperm.
Yeah. I always forget who is 4-valent, who is 3-valent. Sperm, I think. So for 4-valent guy, it was 3 millimolar. For 3-valent guy, it was...
These formulas for cylinders, but don't the DNA coil, and basically you have to look at it more like spherical objects?
No. These formulas are not for cylinder. This is for two surfaces which stick.
Yeah.
So you're right, if I have very small concentration of DNA and long DNA, they make toroids. Mm-hmm. They stick to themselves. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. I didn't say that they don't stick to themselves. I said in one case they are negative and they don't stick. When they are heavily positive, they don't stick. When they are not very strongly charged, they stick to itself or to each other. It doesn't matter.
So the effect is actually very similar to the psi condensation of DNA.
To which?
Psi condensation.
Psi condensation. I don't know this term. This is condensation of DNA. Bloomfield.
Condensation when you mix DNA with short polymers or comparatively short polymers. This is from Robert Wirtz. It was one of his early works.
No, I don't know what you're talking about. Sorry. Why don't we discuss it? No, there are no polymers here whatsoever. This is sticking force developed by this correlated liquid at the surface. And this was discussed. Actually, this was an idea of interaction was discussed by many people, but by Bloomfield and Rosen in 1994 introduced this idea in the clearest way. This idea belongs to them, Bloomfield and Rosen in 1994. But this work is done with Ruzina and Nguyen about this relation between the sticking force and macroscopic charging. Now I am switching gear completely. Now multivalent cationians are not small guys anymore. Look at this.
Sorry, just a question. In this experiment, you see there are four orders of magnitude of ND and NC.
Yes.
So at least you understand from your point of view.
Yes, this is easy to understand because let me come back. Once more, this N naught depends on charge Z of counter ion. You remember, it is E to minus mu over KT, mu is Z squared. So if I have very small charges, this goes to here and I can't observe this. But how about this window? So the position of the window depends on N naught, and N naught depends on charge of counter ion. Now, how does width of this window depend? What does it depend upon? It depends on the sticking force, which also depends on charges, because remember, this energy, which again is square root times charging energy per counter ion, it once more depends on charge, Z squared. So this energy actually also growing with Z. So when I increasing Z, I'm increasing Z, this all moves to smaller concentration and window opens wider. I am not answering your question. What was your question? Yeah, more or less. So actually, we found sticking force was measured in Passagen lab, a different method. And so energy, from treatment of experiment, we found sticking energy per counter ion, and it depends on width of this window. And this sticking energy agrees with other experiments done by Partizan. So I'm switching here from small guys to big guys. Now, counter ions are really big guys. For example, this is DNA sitting at the surface of oppositely charged plane. So DNA sits on positive plane. DNAs get attracted to the surface because they are heavily charged. This is absorption of DNA under discussion. So DNAs get attracted, they repel each other, they make Wigner crystal. If they make Wigner crystal, they repel each other, they are correlated, which means that surface is overcharged. I can repeat everything I said, charge inversion can reach 200 or 300% with proper screening by monovalent charges. So that, of course, as always, a plane itself cannot be overcharged, because energy would be infinite, but if you have screening radius, everything can be done. And so it's a story about overcharging when you have adsorption of polymer. If you have adsorption of polyelectrolyte, surface gets overcharged. Here, what I showed you is rigid polyelectrolyte, but even if it is flexible, it gets overcharged. Now, we're trying to move to biology. So this is chromatin. this is DNA. DNA in a cell, DNA goes around positive histone octamer, which is let's consider it like a positive sphere. A couple of times, then continues, then goes another one, and so this object, which is called 10 nanometer fiber or beads on a string structure like necklace, can be in proper environment, in the sense of salt concentration, it self-assembles in another fiber, which is called 40 nanometer fiber, and chromosomes are actually made of this fiber in very complicated structure, which is not very well known yet. What seems to be known well is this structure, and this structure appears when the cell wants to copy DNA, then it opens this thing. So an interesting question which was discussed in literature, actually, I will give references, is that if you take this thing, you cut DNAs, this object itself is overcharged by DNA. Remember, I just told you that if DNA gets adsorbed to positive surface, it overcharges it. Now, a sphere, positive sphere, which is screened by negative polymer, gets overcharged, and the simple idea that this, maybe not very well working for this special object, is that because I have a, this is a more simple image of the same thing. If I have a DNA charge screening sphere, so it makes a kind of Wigner crystal at the surface, and because it makes Wigner crystal, it overcharges due to correlations. Whenever correlations come into play, you have overcharging. Actually, the static picture of this problem was discussed in very interesting papers by these two groups. They didn't talk language of correlations, and we have recently showed that actually, in some sense, they were dealing with correlations, but they didn't emphasize this role.
What and they did was minimize the energy.
They, those are two different papers. In first paper, they smeared DNA in the chest, so they treated DNA at the surface in mean field approximation. So what we call this approximation metallization, in a sense that you kind of smear the charge, and so now you're working like it is a neutral metal, which I discussed an example there. So when you do this, when you smear charge, you actually taking into account correlations, in a sense, you smear charge, but here you also kind of keep charge uniformly smeared when you have correlations, but not not in this extent. So when you do metallization, in our understanding, you overestimate charge inversion. So we actually wrote this Grossberg review where we compare correlations with other mechanisms people talked about, and so we can discuss this in more detail. Okay, so we emphasized in this story role of correlations, calculated this once more, including Monte Carlo. But let me emphasize what happens. So what happens, what happens is that more DNA comes to the surface than it's necessary to screen charge of sphere. It gets overscreened. So I cut this charge, this tail, and this thing becomes negative. Remember, I started from negative macroions, and I was screening them by positive multivalent counterions. Now DNA is negative, so I changed my story to opposite signs. Now object I screen is positive, DNA is negative, and so when DNA comes to it, the whole thing becomes negative. And so we observed, we did also Monte Carlo.
Histone is not a perfect sphere, it's a protein.
Of course.
So that could disrupt the...
Of course. It's not a perfect sphere. Moreover, it's only two tons. And 2 tons is no good for...
No, but I mean, if you're talking about vacuum crystal and so forth, don't you need to have a particular...
Correct. And the worst thing about that is that DNA is quite quite wide, and octamer is quite small, so 2 tons almost touch each other. So this is what Pinkus and Brunsma call DNA-motivated physics, in direct sense, it's not clear. I'm talking to people, it's not clear whether... But there are many artificial objects like that. There are experiments when micelles play the role of these spheres, or just latex spheres attached to polymer, and this is a very common problem in polymer physics. So I can't say, I can't convince you that what I'm telling you is very good for biology, but for polymer physics it works perfectly.
I just want to understand for DNA histones happening, how much of it the charge effect, how much of the sort of specific sort of histone DNA.
Yeah, it's 15% overcharge which happens there. It's experimental fact. I didn't tell you, sorry. But implication of these ideas is questionable. It's a kind of motivated, as I said, it's physics problem motivated by biology.
Homogeneous is the charge of the histone.
It's not terribly homogeneous. It's not extremely important for my physics. But what's important is that, what is worse, as I said, the DNA are very thick and almost touch each other. So they are kind of compressed there. So I'm not insisting that. But it's a beautiful problem, I should tell you. Look at this Monte Carlo experiment. This is flexible polymer. Actually, DNA can be considered because size is quite big, so rigidity of DNA is not very important for this question. But anyway, this is experiment, Monte Carlo experiment, and analytical theory, both for the problem of complexation of negative polyelectrolyte with positive sphere. You can think that it screens it and that's it becomes neutral. No, actually it can be charged in this example, charge can be as big as sphere has charge plus 100. We check how long should be polymer to stay at the surface, and until polymer has 141 charges, it collapses to the surface. Why? The same story. If polymer shows the tail will create image here at the surface, will get attracted back. So this is 141 charges staying at the surface, Monte Carlo. By the way, 143, immediately huge tail appears. So this is first order phase transition, actually predicted in Pinkus's and Brunsma's work. It's more details here. And here it shows how this transition happens, how this tail appears. I can tell more stories about that. The last transparency.
The loss of entropy due to DNA condensation in the sphere, that's again unimportant?
Again unimportant if sphere is strongly enough charged, so Coulomb forces, all of them, correlations, average, dominate entropy. And DNA is so strongly charged, and of course octamer, which I don't know. Okay, in our experiment, spheres are very strongly charged.
Like you say that you work in the low temperature limit. It looks like that entropy doesn't apply for big charge, for large charge.
Yeah.
But entropy completely applies for small charge.
Correct.
This is
correct.
Your window, so to speak.
Correct. So if I take sphere with much smaller charge, eventually DNA will leave. It will disorb. Because of entropy. It will not like to do what it does. This all happens because charge of sphere is big and DNA is very densely charged.
And counter ions are small and therefore they move and entropy applies for them.
Well, these calculations do not have monovalent counter ions. It's just no screening one of these curves, this curve. But when we add screening by monovalent counter ions, this actually, I repeat, this in the multivalent monovalent screening helps charge inversion, because now I am not charging a sphere, I am charging a spherical capacitor, and charging spherical capacitor is easier because it has larger capacitance. So but this all about strongly charged objects, and low temperature physics is applicable to biology, well, to chemistry, polymer physics, biology, if charges are big.
Simulations charge neutrality is enforced how? By some uniform background?
Well, you have no need to enforce charge neutrality if you're talking about point-like object, you know, then you just have infinity. So it the whole thing, well, we did charge neutrality, we did, we also introduced screening by monovalent guys, changing potential from Coulomb to Debye-Hückel. And also we did what you said. So, I mean, but it is not important, because suppose you do everything inside sphere.
The minimum energy configuration is when, if it is overcharged, you need it want to be a long polymer and separate out from the...
Well, let's say that if you have let's say we did it for the screening radius. So this experiment is with screening radius. Screening radius is equal approximately radius of this big sphere. Everything is neutral. If screening radius will become even smaller, then this thing will not be straight. You're right. For example. So we discuss role of screening in our paper.
Sorry, can you leave that? So you say that if you put a chain of 141, you get stable configuration like 1 over I. And with 143, you get 1 over lambda.
Yes, it's first order phase transition.
So it's really such huge difference.
Yes, this is first order phase transition, actually predicted by Pinkus. Excuse me?
Yeah, but still it looks like very huge.
Monte Carlo experiment. Let me then explain what's plotted here.
I'm sorry, but if you think in terms of the Gauss theorem, you are at zero temperature. So once you cover, if there is no counter ions, once you neutralize the charge of the surface, then there is no field. So why would the
correlation? This is the story. Yeah. This is very counterintuitive story. Counterintuitive story. Yes. Why counter ions come to the surface when they neutralize it? Yes, that's what one can tell you. Because when you're telling this, you're thinking mean field.
No. I'm talking about the case when there is no counter ion, because you say your simulations are not, but there is a...
No, this guy is counter ion now.
Yeah.
This is what is being screened. This object is counter ion. It makes such a tones here, which repel each other, which gets correlated. This is like metal at the surface. And now, suppose this is metallic object. I show metallic object this tail. Tail images itself in metal, gets attracted to the surface, and this is what this is about. This is very counterintuitive, of course. But this is why it's interesting. Excuse me?
What was L? I lost track.
Let me explain this plot. I haven't explained the plot. So this is a length of polymer which I give this guy to work with. This is length which collapses to the surface. So until it's 142, whatever I give collapses. Then this is what stays at the surface when I give him longer. So I give him 160, only 125 stays at the surface. The rest is the tail. So immediately, it jumps down, tail appears immediately, and continues to grow. Well, there are lots of stories like that. I show the last story which we published recently, and this is closer and closer to biology. Hopefully you see this. So this is story about complexation between positive spheres which are in some concentration in solution, which in given concentration in solution, and negative polymers, which are in some concentration in solution. What is shown here, that these objects self-assemble in structures like chromatin fiber, and there are two charge inversions now, not one, but two. Well, this is because you see here two Wigner crystals. One Wigner crystal is here. At the surface, there are turns of DNA which repel each other, make Wigner crystal. So this sphere can be overcharged as before by polymer. It gets overcharged by polymer if total charge of polymers in solution is bigger than total charge of spheres. When each sphere becomes negative, they repel each other, they make such structure. A different situation happens when total charge of polymers is smaller than total charge of spheres. Then spheres are in abundance, they come to DNA, they are undercharged, they are still positive in spite of some screening. They repel each other and make Wigner crystal once more. Due to this macroscopic Wigner crystal, the whole object is overcharged by positive spheres. So polymer becomes overcharged. It's very similar to what I said when the DNA is overcharged. This object is overcharged now not by small guys, by spheres, because spheres are in abundance. And when spheres are in abundance, this chromatin, so to say, is overcharged positively, should go in opposite directions. There are some experiments going on this thing in a couple of labs, and we hope it will be seen. And this is our last paper in this story. Thank you.
So I guess if you the polymer charge keeps increasing, at some point it will melt from the local level, right?
Which problem are you talking about?
This one, the last one.
So let me just repeat. People introduce chemistry into research they call isoelectric point. Isoelectric point, I want to just is where charge of polymer is exactly equal charge of spheres. So now we're talking about which situation when polymer is in abundance, yeah?
The polymer is in abundance, but if you keep increasing that, what happens? It will melt, I guess, from the local ones.
No. If polymer is in abundance, It overscreens these spheres.
They can overscreen at some point. I mean, after some, like
if they touch each other, that's it. Yeah.
So in the previous graph, when L is becoming 143, I forgot, it will keep shooting out. Right?
Yeah, they.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, no. But what will happen then? It will not overcharge more than that.
Right.
This is maximum possible.
Right. So
you're right.
If you increase beyond that point.
This is actually all this overcharging plotted here. This is concentration of polymer actually. And this is concentration we're talking about. So it's saturated. This Q star is charge of this. Q is bare charge of sphere. Q star to Q is this. It saturates at large concentration of polymer. You're right. So what's your question? Just distances become longer. This period will become longer. So we'll have less spheres. That's it, nothing else. But charge of a sphere will be negative and fixed at this level.
But don't you need that to be a liquid? I mean, you need that it is not finned. I mean, dynamically, you need that the sphere can move.
I'm talking only equilibrium, no kinetic problems involved. Some things can be slow. I am not talking about that. I'm not talking about kinetics at all. Yeah, there are some tricky kinetics questions which haven't been discussed yet here.
What about the screening of a DNA cylinder? So how does this absorption of the charges affect the rigidity? Suppose you have a wall which is actually flexible.
Thank you. Yeah, there is actually a paper which we wrote with Ruzina and Nguyen about this question. So question is this is DNA. This Wigner crystal appears here at the surface. and question what it does to rigidity of DNA. Rigidity of DNA is an interesting, important question, and rigidity of DNA or persistent length of DNA is measured in all kinds of solutions. So if I introduce monovalent salt in abundance, people think that I screen all the charges very tightly, and so now it's actually what I am measuring is bare rigidity, mechanical rigidity of DNA. Actually, charges change rigidity. So if vice versa, I have no screening at all, DNA has infinite persistent length. So bare persistent length of DNA is 50 nanometers. And that's what people quote as a bare, okay? Now, how multivalent charges affect rigidity? If you add multivalent charges, this spermidine, they come and sit at the surface. And experimental fact is that now rigidity becomes smaller even than bare rigidity. So screening by multivalent counterions not only kills Coulomb contribution to persistent length. Usually there is famous theory valid for monovalent counterions, which is called which belongs to Fixman, or they can Fixman. They say that persistent length has bare value plus something added by charges, which is diminished when screening grows. Now here, charges drive persistent length from 50 nanometers to 20 nanometers. So contribution of charges is not positive, it's negative. So this happens because when you bend DNA, and you have Wigner crystal at the surface, you are bending Wigner crystal on this side and this side, you can calculate what happens, and as a result, Wigner crystal diminishes rigidity. It's beneficial to bend Wigner crystal. Wigner crystal is known to have negative compressibility. Theories from, you know, solid state community know. It has negative compressibility. It has negative screening radius. So screening radius, when you have abundance of monovalent salt, gets zero, becomes zero, but if you put multivalent salt, which makes Wigner crystal due to correlations, screening radius becomes negative. So you can take famous Odeck-Fixman expression, put screening radius negative, which makes negative contribution to rigidity, and it's known from experiment. We actually calculated this. We couldn't explain such a big effect from 50 nanometers to 20 nanometers. We got weaker effect, like from 50 to 40. We don't know why, but qualitatively, there is such theory, and we don't know why it doesn't work quantitatively.
I had a final question on your last slide. I think I missed something, because you're saying that to see a condensation, you have to have a positive over-screening, and you told
okay, us let's go through this plot, which I...
Yeah, I mean, in real life, you told us that DNA on a nucleosome is over-screened, but negatively, 15%? Is that correct?
15%, yes.
So it's the total charge is negative?
Total charge of this object is negative in biological situation. So what's plotted here, if this is concentration of polymer, this is isoelectric point where concentration of polymer is equal concentration of concentration of charges on polymers is equal to concentration of charges on spheres. And here I have Q star charge of this guy is positive, here it becomes negative. On the other hand, the total charge here is negative, this ratio.
Yeah, I understand that.
Okay, they change sign.
It doesn't vary.
Okay, what does it do to vary? This is the most difficult question you could ask. How do I correlate this with real life and biology? Yeah. So first, let's talk about in biological situation. Situation is close to this point. who does this? Nature. I mean, it watches that concentrations are almost equal. It doesn't want this thing straight in any situation. It wants it self-assembled into 30 nanometer fiber. You remember this corn-like structure? This is what nature does. It assembles this thing, self-assembles this thing. So if it self-assembles, it means that it's not positive, not and not negative. It's almost neutral. Where is this picture? So I will get chromosomes only if these guys are in equal, in the sense of charge situation, and then they can self-assemble. Actually, we discussed this question too. There is a range here in which this thing is unstable. You remember, it's similar to that experiment with reentrant DNA condensation. If it is not heavily negative or heavily positive, it becomes unstable. Why? Because now these guys can come to each other and touch like that. And when they touch like that, they self-assemble in something like a corn, which is this 30 nanometer fiber. Of course, we can't prove this. This is a guess. They have to condense. This we can prove. And we can calculate a range of conditions in which they condense. Something happens, some instability in sense they condense in some object. We cannot prove it. But look at, but this has nothing to do with our work. This belongs to probably Klug, and it's 15 years or 20 years old already. And look what they show. These two coils, two solenoids, touch each other here. As like what I showed here. They touch each other like here. So, okay, I discuss it with biologists, and of course they say, there are hundreds of possibilities and so on. But but anyway, people do experiments with polytroid and artificial sphere. And at isoelectric point, this thing will self-assemble, and hopefully in some conditions, in structure like this, and then we'll see who is right. I don't know.
Okay, thank you again.